Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Starfield Debate Podcast. I mean, the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. We just spent like the first 20 minutes of just
literally 20 minutes
hanging out here debating. Lotus and I were like, I feel like this is what the launch for Starfield will be like. Well, I feel like this is what the launch. Well, yep. What about this? Well, what about this? And we went back and had a really fun conversation. So we don't hate each other. It was more of a it wasn't even so much of a debate as a series of predictions.
Again, I thought we were mortal enemies.
I feel like whenever you're on the internet and you have different opinions about something at this point, it's like, you just have to assume that people are just trying to murder each other or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? There's no logical debate. There's just rage.
Right. It's just rage and anger. But maybe we'll put this in the second half of the episode, like, or maybe just after the end or something, if you guys want to hear some of our thoughts on the Starfield launch. But that's not why we're here today. We are here to talk about Elsewhere, because we're traveling around the map. We're going in like kind of a clockwise motion. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, Lotus? We've got a little directional focus going here. I like it.
Yeah. So we've recently talked about two other locations, and today we're now visiting Elsewhere. And you know what? I think this one's going to be a little bit different of a conversation. We need to delve into Elsewhere and get into some of the history, some of the culture, some of the religion, all of that stuff, which we've talked about in other contexts, but not necessarily directly. But in this episode, because we're doing the lands and the lore of the locations, we need to try to talk mostly about the land and the locations and these kinds of things. So that's what we're going to try to stick to. Although I feel like Elsewhere, it's a different place. We started with the weird ones, Liz. We should have started with more normal ones and established normal stuff, but
I know we got real weird to start, and then it's going to normalize as we get around the continent.
It's going to get more normal as we continue moving around. But all right, we're at Elsewhere. Everybody knows this is the home of the Khajiit, and it's mostly desert, but there's more to it than just that.
Yeah, it's some decent savannas that actually prior to ESO we didn't really get to see.
In
fact, most of our information of Elsewhere is actually from the Elder Scrolls Online more than anything else. You really just get very, very pixelated bits of procedural generation prior to that. So
right.
A lot of it was just the way it was explained, and you never got to see it yourself until the Elder Scrolls Online with the Elsewhere expansion.
Yeah, absolutely. So Elsewhere is divided up into kind of two sections, and we're going to hear about these two sections a lot. And the first section, the northernmost section, is one climate type. It's mostly savannas, badlands, and dry plains, whereas the southern part is more fertile lands like jungles and rainforests.
Yes.
So oftentimes you think about like the northern part without really thinking about the southern part very much. Well, the southern part, again, it's very different. It's more southern, so it's going to be wetter. It's going to be warmer. So it's got that kind of thing going on. But Elsewhere was originally a bunch of different clans. And so if we go into the history stuff, the different clans of Khajiit basically ruled over these different sections, and eventually they were all combined together. We'll talk about that on a future episode. But the six clans, the 16 or 16, I'm sorry, I said six,
yeah, 16 clan.
Tribes became six kingdoms. So Nekwin Al, I'm going to mess up the names, Rimmon, Riverhold, Dune, Orcrist, Verkarth, Mirvale, and Helcarn. These are the northern ones. And then there's Alabaster, Brookra, Palatin, Corinth, Tenmar, Torval, Canarthia.
Yeah, with Canarthia's rest, right. That would make most of the most sense now that you say it out loud.
Yeah, and Senchal. These are the southern ones. And eventually these were combined into like two and then one group as a whole, as all of Elsewhere. So the history of the peoples kind of unified the area, but that area was still different from the rest of the continent because it was the home of the Khajiit, and the Khajiit, like the Argonians that we talked about last week, are very different from either the Men or the Mer in some very significant ways.
Yes. Other than there being a whole plethora of Khajiit, which are defined by being fur stocks, which we won't get into that at the moment. That's more on Khajiit the race rather than this region. Mm-hmm. But they're essentially just, they're your felines in the series. Just all of them, just varying degrees of them, from house cat to battle mammoth cat. When you
battle mammoth cat, like, yeah, gigantic monster bear cat. Rot. Yeah,
like yes. Yeah. So it's just we joked way back in the day that when the year we were actually getting the Elsewhere expansion, that it was just it was their own personal litter box, because like we mentioned, it's very sandy, it's very arid in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I don't know, it's a yet another very unique region compared to what we've talked about already.
Yeah. And the climate is distinct in very specific ways from other places as well. The 16 tribes became two kingdoms. This was just after the Thracian plague of the first era, 2260. And
which,
so you
wiped out a lot of Khajiit.
Right.
They were very susceptible to the Nahatan flu. So.
I said Thracian plague. The Nahatan flu is another thing too.
Oh, yeah. Wow, they're just susceptible to everything. There's, yeah, you said the Thracian plague.
I'm there's a few of these like plagues and flus that go around.
The Khajiit do not have a lot of durability when it comes to, I went to another plague that totally like wipes out the city.
They have a problem with that one too. But this is after the first era, 2260. Yeah, so this is before ESO.
Right.
All of this stuff. Right. And so the 16 tribes combine into two groups. There's the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. And the Northern is Nekwinal, which is the same as Anakina. It's the same place.
Yes.
It's just a different name.
Well, there's a lot of regional shift, I guess, with the way Elsewhere is divided up when you've got kind of these things. So over the games, or I guess over the like story itself, they shift a bit more than some of the other cultures. Think of it as like in a similar, not in a great house form, but those great houses kind of like shift the terrain on who owns what in Morrowind. Mm-hmm. Is similar to this, but it's more of like a kingdom dynamic as opposed to a great house dynamic, if that makes sense.
Right. And then the southern section is called Palatine, and it's spelled funny. Of course, whenever you see the more normal, quote, normal spelling, the more, I don't know, English, European type, Latin English kind of, that's usually the empire, right? That's usually Cyrillic
Palatine
or something like that.
Doesn't really fit so much with a couple of the other ones. Like same thing with Anakino, as opposed to going to Rockla or something.
Right. So
definitively different name types.
Right. So the southern section is wealthier and was known as Palatine.
I've heard Palatine.
That's like the Khajiit spelling, but the Cyrillic is Palatine, so P-E-L-L-I-T-I-N-E. They're the same thing, though. They're just, it's like the fact that I keep messing up pronunciations of like J.R.R. Tolkien's stuff in the Lord of the Rings lorecast because I don't speak Elvish. So I say things accidentally with like my own accent, I guess. And then I'm like, oh crap, I messed that one up again. But that's kind of the vibe here, right?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
So one of the other things I wanted to mention is because we've gotten to see some of these locations in the expansions in ESO, we actually can see some of the architecture, like the artistry in the buildings and the way things are made. And this is another one of those reasons why this part of the world is so distinct and different from all these other places. If we look at the our world influence on the artists, you have things like ancient Indian architecture and some of these Southern Asian influences and even in some of these ancient temples that we have in our own world, you know, among like I said, Southern Asia or even parts of, I don't know, the string of islands south of Asia, the what's that group called? What's that area called?
Everybody's screaming.
Somebody's yelling.
Void right now.
You know what I'm talking about. Should. The string of islands that goes south towards Australia. Anyway, there are structures in those parts of the world that have very similar architecture to what we see in elsewhere. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's all very like built from the same earth and the rocks around. So it's still got that orange kind of texture to a lot of the rocks and things. But the actual shapes are very decorative. They're very carved out. They've got these like, I don't know, minarets or what they're called, like with the little pointy bits at the tops of the little roofs and really intricate doorways and windows. And it's all very beautiful and well designed, which plays to that feeling of us from being in this like Western audience of this feeling like somewhere that we don't see in our everyday lives, just walking around in the world. It looks somewhere that's more foreign to us from a Western perspective. What do you think about all this stuff? I loved visiting these locations when the Elsewhere expansion especially came out.
Yeah, the Elsewhere expansion especially, and it's actually funny because people have mentioned in chat, which I will agree with, in-game traversing the landscape specifically in Northern Elsewhere is a bit rough because of just, we'll go into a very quick specific bit of terrain here. There's a giant scar down the middle of the Northern Elsewhere region, and it's this giant canyon essentially, and they built a city which has like rope bridges that go across it, allowing travel, and there's connecting bridges and stuff like that called the Stitches. So like it stitches up over the scar. It's kind of like its own neat little thing, but it makes in-game travel sort of obnoxious if you're trying to go somewhere quickly because there's no real quick routes around. However, the region itself and the design of it, I was super excited to see back, you know, when it was first being revealed. I think the music in the area is very, very cool. It's very unique. It's got that Indian feel to a lot of it. And the zone itself, because again, we hadn't really seen anything of it, I was very curious to see where this weird Elsewhere land was. And when it was fully actualized, I thought it had a very unique feel to it. Again, more so the culture, so we'll just touch on it, but the reverence for the moons and the cycles of the moons and, you know, the tie to the lunar lattice and all of that with the Khajiit culture is neat just because a lot of their architecture has like the moon and suns into the architecture itself. So it's got a very unique unique shape to it. But I liked the fact that it wasn't just straight up desert. So it was like, it's Alakir part two.
Mm-hmm.
It felt less like the savanna deserts and more like somewhere you would find in like Africa or something like that, where it's like, okay, yeah, there's desert regions, but it's also not just all desert. Like it's got more to it. And I thought that made it a little more unique than I was expecting, actually. I still wish we had been able to see the Tenmar Forest, which is not actually in the game yet. But it's just that little sliver is just kind of not discovered on the map.
Yeah.
It gives me a twitch. But no, in general, I really liked the region. I thought it added a lot to the series and fleshed out honestly, that seems like a fan favorite race of characters and culture that really had not been fleshed out other than they're the kitty people.
Yeah.
Like they, it was
yeah,
like, yeah. That, it added so, so much more to it. So I really, personally, it's one of my favorite, like, zones in ESO, just because I don't know. I really like the way they actualized it in game.
Yeah. Getting around is a little difficult. So there is that.
Yeah.
That is kind of a pain in the butt. But the locations that you do get to visit, the cities, the even the different types of Khajiit that you meet, all the different varieties, yes, of fur stocks are very cool because, right, this is their homeland. So they're walking around doing their things. And, you know, it's really crazy to think of, like, imagine, can you imagine a human society where some people are average sized people like you and me, and yep, some people are the size of house cats, and some, right, people are the size of bears, and, right, and all of these people just live in a city together and get just along and talk and, you know, like, and can be related to each other, because we've talked about this before in the first talk stuff. It has to do with the cycles of the moon, depending on which one you look like when you're, yes, when you're born.
And on that note, you know, some of the places you go to for some of their temples and stuff like that, that you see different characters. There's some really good ones with the Elfik, who we had not actually seen, mm-hmm, anything of. We had heard of Elfik, but never encountered them, which they're basically just like super sentient magical house cats. Which, right, is great because some of them wear very entertaining little hats and clothing and stuff like that. So what if you look up Skooma Cat, which is, you know, the Sher Gorath version of Khajiit, he oftentimes is portrayed as an Elfik. But one of the things that I really, really like the aesthetic on those specifically with their little temples was a lot of them reminded me of like Tibetan monasteries and stuff, yeah, like that, which, yeah, I thought was a really cool and unique aesthetic that wasn't actually in much else to the game. So I thought that gave it a very, very unique feel that we hadn't seen elsewhere, but I'm sure whatever
elsewhere.
Which, yeah, it's kind of hard to say elsewhere and then not have it just be an awkward joke about this place in the, yeah, series.
It's clearly a clever name that developers put in like years ago at the beginning of the series,
yeah,
to be like, oh, and then there's that place that's elsewhere, we won't talk about that.
Right, yeah. And now that we're actually at the point where the series is so fleshed out, it's like, oh, we actually have to go there.
We actually have to talk about that place that, oh, just, boy, has a clever name. Yep. Yep, you do. Speaking of other places, these are some of the notable locations, like cities and other locations. We have, this is alphabetical, there's Alabaster, which is the city found inland from the Niven River on the Elsewhere side of the border. So this is just kind of just in on, it's one of those boundary locations.
Yep.
Then there's Corinth, which is in central Elsewhere. Dune, which is in northwestern Elsewhere near the Valenwood border. So this is off on that side of, yep, the map. The Halls of Colossus are a notable location because this has a lot to do with dragons.
It does. Also, just one thing of note, because I always love being able to give my little tidbit of the classics, you actually go to this specific location, the Halls of Colossus, in the Elder Scrolls 1 arena. So that pull is actually all the way, mm-hmm, from the original game.
Right. And this was this is a location that housed the Numidium at one point. So
yes, it's got some
cool for a number of
important
reasons.
Stuff that happens around the Halls of Colossus.
Right. And the Numidium being a colossal structure, therefore the Halls, right, of Colossus. Colossus, then that makes sense, right? Canarthi's Roost, which has been in the game since launch.
Yeah, that was your starter island yep, for the Eldemir Dominion.
Yep, that's it's a southeast or south, yep, southern coast, where and Mormyr live peacefully together with the Khajiit, mm-hmm, there, which is kind of crazy. Minstrel is a city on Canarthi's Roost. Orcrest is a city in northern Elsewhere, south of Riverhold.
Yep, and that's actually, it's a public dungeon in ESO, and that's actually the one when I mentioned the wrong plague when we were talking about which plagues wiped out the Khajiit. The storyline to that is, yeah, it's right after the Naten Flu is wiping everybody out, I believe, is it's real plaguey.
Real plaguey
over there.
Real plaguey over there. Then there's Ralka.
Yeah, it's Ralka, like a big trade city in the zone in ESO.
Yeah.
I actually really like Ralka. I don't know. Again, it's not even that unique but it's, I just think the design of it in Elder Scrolls Online is very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's southwest of Dune. Yep. Rimmen, which it's one of those names that doesn't sound very Khajiit, which means probably Imperial.
Yeah, probably a little Imperial. And then when you're there, mm-hmm. it's probably a little more Imperial.
Yep. Yep. So it's on the northeastern side of Elsweyr, which borders yep. Cyrodiil, which explains some of the Imperial nature of the location and why it has an Imperial sounding name. Riverhold, another not particularly Khajiit-y sounding name.
Yep.
Northern Elsweyr near the Cyrodiil border. So again, makes sense. So the more they sound foreign, the more likely they are to be deeper into the location. And the more they sound like Imperial stuff, the more they're closer to be near Cyrodiil. And my dogs are barking. Then there's Senshal, which was a slum turned into a coastal resort. It lies on the northern shores of the southeastern tail of Elsweyr. So there's that. Hold on one second. Hey! Stop!
They're very excited. Well, actually, we are talking about Khajiit. Maybe they're chasing Khajiit right now in the background. You just don't realize it.
Maybe. They're barking at the neighbor. Here, let me see.
Very on brand.
Let's see if they'll hear their bag of treats.
Ah, I see. Bribing them.
He knows I'm discussing cats. Oh, here yep. you are. All right. You got to sit and be good for a few minutes. All right. You stay. And then we have Torval, which is the last of this group, which is a city-state and seat of the Main near the southwestern Valinwood border. And the Main is the leader of the Khajiit, which yes. we've talked about before when we were talking about the first ox and all that stuff.
Yep.
So those are the locations. If you ever want to go travel and visit these places, you know where to go now.
But many of them.
So here, tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to go thank our patrons. I'm going to make sure the dogs don't bark anymore. And we'll be right back, but don't go anywhere because we got to talk about flora and fauna and some other stuff. So we'll be right back.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons, including our newest patrons, including Elizabeth N. and Don C. and MK44 just upgraded to a year pledge. Got a nice 10% discount by just pledging for the entire year, which is super great. Thank you so much for that. And Neon Knight, who is our new tier 5 Daedric Prince. And speaking of Daedric Princes, we've got Kira C, Neon Knight, and Noodle Al Dente, who get shout outs every week. Welcome to the group, Neon. And that brings us up to 141 patrons.
Good Lord.
Holy moly. You guys are the best. I need to stop saying you guys because it's gendered, and I'm trying my best. It's just such an integral part of my vocabulary. And every time I say it, I think of Goonies.
Yeah.
Where he goes, hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, that's just like a warm fuzzy. But if you hear me use it, I'm trying to be inclusive. I just, need to train myself not to use it anymore.
I get what you're saying, but it's like, that's the way like my wife and I call each other, bruh.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. I'm just call everybody babes. Hey, babes. Yeah. You babes are great.
There you go.
Anyway, if you want to go check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast, and we would really, really appreciate your support, and you get lots of cool stuff. So go check that out. there's also a new review. This one's from Dill Pickle 004. 004. Wait a minute. Is it 004 like a 007?
Yes.
Okay. So
absolutely.
Dill Pickle. This is secret agent.
This is already canon. So yeah, go on.
This is secret agent Dill Pickle reporting in. Yeah. Who says, from the United States, which is weird, but 007s are supposed to be British, right?
Unless he's infiltrating us.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, Agent Pickle says, this podcast made me get back into the Elder Scrolls. I stopped playing after a while due to being burned out, but the way Lotus and Tom dive so deep into the lore made me want to get back in just so I can find and read all the lore books in Skyrim and then learn it all myself. Thank you guys for bringing the love of the Elder Scrolls back to its height for me. I truly can't thank you guys enough.
Aw.
Super sweet.
I'm so glad. Well, you're happy to entertain and I guess educate as we bumble our way through these and give other people direction.
Well, you're a very nice secret agent. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Dill. If you'd like to leave us a rating and review, a 5-star rating and a review in the future on Apple Podcasts will get read out by us, and we'll say thank you for leaving it. Otherwise,
yeah, we'll probably screw up the name.
And you can leave reviews on Spotify or any other platforms that you listen to. So just, you know, all that stuff is extremely helpful. Thank you so much for your support. Let's get back to the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right. Before we get into the flora and fauna, we have to talk about the cuisine of the Khajiit, because they biologically seem to work in a very different way than everybody else, especially when it comes to one of the flora that exists in this part of the world.
Yeah, I would say flora.
Flora.
Because I don't know how you would not.
I'm talking about moon sugar. No. Yeah, so
yeah, about
it's flora.
Sugar.
It's flora. So let's the Khajiit, because they are cats, love really, really sweet things. So candies, cakes, puddings, sugar meats, honey stews, all sorts of that kind of stuff. So
my teeth hurt thinking about that.
Yeah, so they're like little kids. They can't get enough candy, right? Now, a lot of these dishes include moon sugar, which they grow and is basically a staple of a lot of their food. But of course, you can turn moon sugar into skooma, and that's where things get even wackier.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the drug counterpart from processing the moon sugar, and you get all sorts of, I mean, you encounter skooma a lot throughout the series. It has some positive effects. It has crippling, you never really deal with too many side effects of it in game, I guess, mm-hmm. probably from not having prolonged usage of skooma. But yeah, a lot of characters that you encounter in game with skooma addictions and stuff like that, it's pretty rough. It's a pretty rough problem in the series. So
yeah, Gwen the Bard in chat says catnip. It's kind of like their catnip, sort
yeah,
of.
If you condense catnip down and
into crack rock.
It's kind of like crack nip. Yes.
Catnip. But because they are Khajiit and they have a different biology and they're raised on the stuff and they eat moon sugar all the time, they have more of a natural like predisposition where they can resist it more. Like they've got a better.
It seems like they able have to a process high it. Tolerance built yeah. up to it.
Yeah. Whereas other races, not so much. So it is seen as being part of their culture in a way that it's not in the rest of the continent. They also like cheese and ale and some of these other more common things as well.
Yep.
So here, let's talk about the flora. So we've got a variety of different things here, including things like lots of nightshade, which...
Yeah, it seems like nightshade is very common to the region, mm-hmm. Which nightshade can be found in a lot of different places on Tamriel, but it just seems... apparently, it's more heavily found in the Elsewhere region, which is...
Yeah, well, it's poisonous, and it's used in like narcotics and in a lot of, you know, conjuring potions and these kinds of things.
That's a trend here.
Yeah, so this is another one of those like, don't just eat one on your own. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
But lots of nightshade, and then across the continent, we have a lot of things that you would kind of expect to see. This place, Elsewhere, for the most part, doesn't look the same way that some of these other locations we talked about look. Like if you go to Morrowind, you've got like the weird mushrooms and stuff. If you look over in where the Argonians live, I was going to say Argonia, but I should call it Black Marsh.
I mean, technically Argonia has also been a name they've used.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's so more sure. derogatory, but Black Marsh isn't a nice name either. That's why I kind of wavered on that. But the, you know, places like that, you've got some weird plants and things, but you also have the normal stuff in Elsewhere, you have a lot of very normal looking grasses and trees. And sure, there's areas that are more desert covered and areas that are more forest, but lots of more just kind of the kinds of stuff you see in the real world.
Right. And that's the thing. It's the, you know, be it the desert or the savanna or whatever, you get a lot of just kind of, at least it seems like, much more commonplace things. You're not getting a lot of the, even though the place is unique, it's doesn't have some of the weird ash yams because of the volcano constantly off to the side.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some of these horrific things growing down in the swamps and stuff like that. This is more just kind of like, yeah, the temperate area of some of the savannas or the desert areas just kind of relate to those type of plants. Nothing super weird, which is almost in and of itself kind of unique.
Yeah, it kind of is. And then when we get to the fauna includes other kinds of creatures you would see in these locations, even wild cats that aren't right. Khajiit that look very similar.
Because yeah, like many Senches
of the
and,
yeah, yep. many of the fur stocks look like these other cats. They just happen to be intelligent.
Right.
they're not the same thing. But you have a lot of these very normal creatures: Sench tigers and lions. You have regular looking birds. You have a lot less of the weird and wacky stuff like giant monster lizard things, and more of very common animals, which is kind of strange. Like, does this hit you as a little bit weird? Like wolves and tigers and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But nothing right. Like, we're not seeing like guar run around, and I'm not expecting to see like the same creatures from these other places. But for being right. one of the parts of the continent that is undiscovered in a lot of ways to common travelers. Not so much.
And there are a few things that I guess might be worth bringing up that actually aren't really mentioned in either of the articles, which mm-hmm. is kind of interesting because we always use these as a reference guide for what we're doing
right.
When we take notes off of them. One of the things that actually I feel might be worth noting, but again, they were kind of brought up via Elder Scrolls Online, so it was our first experience with them. But mm-hmm. there are also some versions we had mentioned, the varying size of, you know, the fur stock and stuff like that. Some creatures in the zone are very similar, but there's like something called like a terror bird, which sounds horrible and a nightmare yeah. creature, but it's basically just a bigger dodo bird.
Right. So, it doesn't look super weird.
It's just bigger.
Right. Right.
It's like, right. So like to your point, it's like, okay, there's a tiger. There's a bigger tiger. Like
yeah.
a lot of those, that's kind of, I guess, a way to kind of support what you're saying and why they might not be specifically mentioned in the articles. You get a lot of creatures that are just like bigger or weirder versions of some of the other ones. Something else that's kind of noted, which honestly, I don't really remember this being a case in Arena or in Elder Scrolls Online, but it's noted that there's like a relatively high population of trolls in the area.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the one kind of weird creature. But trolls are everywhere else too. It's not like it's unique to this area.
Trolls are not super, like, that's a pretty common creature to the game series.
Right, right.
And on top of that, I didn't see many more than anywhere else.
Yep. The only other weird creature are dragons, because they show up during part of the storyline from ESO.
Right.
But again, it's not that the dragons are the indigenous to this specific part of the
right,
world.
It's just they came out of the halls of Colossus.
Right, that's where they came out. And so they're hanging out near the place that they were released from. That's
correct.
It.
Correct, in the second era. So it's like, and then, you know, after that whole thing and some weirdnesses with warps in the west and dragon breaks and stuff like that, we don't hear from them again for quite a while. So it's like, it was more of an area of convenience, it seemed like, more than like they're not in, like you said, they're not indigenous there. They were hiding there.
Right.
And then they got stirred up from there.
Right. But other than that, there's really not too much else notable with those two things, which is kind of a bummer because,
yeah, the region is super unique, but there's not a ton of unique stuff necessarily there.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of other details about elsewhere, the tribes, the people, their history, the plague and the flu and how that affected them. There's a rebellion period. There's a lot of other stuff going on here historically, but we don't have time.
Yeah, shifting of kingdoms and stuff like that.
Right.
But that's you
a
know,
whole potentially series of episodes on all of that stuff.
Yeah, that would be a little more of the history rather than just the geography.
Right. So we're going to save that for a future episode. But definitely come back for that stuff if you're interested, because we'll get back around to it eventually. Anything else about elsewhere that you find particularly interesting or notable?
So one thing that actually I do kind of want to bring up just because I think it's interesting and just a bit strange for some of the lore bits that it's interesting to see how things change over time. Mm-hmm. And the map actually has been adjusted a bit as time has gone on. For Elsweyr, it's always been in the same ballpark area type of thing, but it's one of the areas that got kind of shifted a little bit so that it would fit, I guess, the modern way of wanting everything
like the
to
ESO
line up.
Map?
Well, the ESO map, and I think maybe trying to go forward with a lot of this stuff. In Arena, it was, if I'm not entirely mistaken, I'm trying to look
it's
at
kind
the comparisons.
Of, it's kind of like wider. The Arena map
yeah,
is wider.
Yeah, I think
wider,
that's probably a good way to put it.
The map after Arena is more north-south, less
right.
east-west.
Yeah, and that's just it. It kind of just got reorganized a little bit to make it all fit a bit better, mm-hmm. which is just interesting because, again, beyond there being always some debate over the maps in the series from game to game and even in the same game and stuff like that, they've even mentioned that maps are inaccurate. And
oh yeah,
it's with the idea that things are all done from within game, you get slightly different interpretations of it. So it's kind of interesting to see just some of the shifts over time. Elsweyr is not a massive shift, but like you said, they condensed it a little bit to right. fit properly with right. Vale and Wood being a little more positioned and not kind of spilling into Cyrodiil quite as much.
Yeah, this is always one of those things I find funny because when you're playing the games, the maps are designed in a way where they feel right for the gameplay, but they don't actually match yeah. the size of real world locations. You know, right. The classic right. idea here is like Whiterun has all of like two dozen inhabitants, you
yes.
know, like, or maybe more than that, but like, it doesn't feel like a city by any means. It feels like a little settlement with a castle.
Right.
and that's right. it. And the same thing happens in ESO, like the amount of time it would take you to travel from one city, like on the north side of the map to the bottom city of the other side of the map means that entire map is like a mile across. Like it's right. not very big. Like if you were to stitch together all the locations that we get and keep them at the same scale, you could travel like all of Tamriel, which you can travel almost all of at this point in ESO, is not actually any bigger than a city that you and I live in.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a little weird, but I don't know. Just trying not to think about that too much.
Well, yeah. If you try to get, unfortunately, that's the thing where you do need to keep in context that it's like when, you know, a fictional series is being worked on in certain ways, these are all outlines for it. And I appreciate how they try their best to stick to a lot of the lore to make it make sense in continuity. But sometimes for the betterment of everything, they can kind of MacGuffin their way out of things. I mean, we wouldn't even have Dragon Breaks in the series if it wasn't for them writing themselves in a weird corner at the end of Daggerfall with like multiple endings. How do we not null and void one of your endings? So they right. came up with a way.
Right, right. Yeah, so just try not to think too hard on that. The maps are definitely not to scale.
Scale, and they do fluctuate. Mm-hmm. And you can say that it was because of a myriad of reasons, whether they just needed to make it fit or whether it was like, oh, well, no, this shifted or whatever. You can come up with your own headcanon of doing that. But yeah, sometimes they just kind of need to adjust accordingly.
Right. Yeah. A whole map full of just empty spaces would not be fun. Or an entire, you know, like a city that's actually, you know, let's say they built a city that was 4 or 5 miles across. Like the amount of time it would take you to traverse just to get out of the city to go on a quest would be... Oh. Impossible.
And for better or worse, that's one of the things Daggerfall kind of did. Mm-hmm. As I've been playing through the Elder Scrolls 2, a lot of this is very much like that. It's like, okay, I went to this town. Where do I need to go? And I bring up the map and there's 150 houses. And I'm like, oh, yeah. good yeah. God. And you
right.
figure out which one it is.
Right. And even if there was a little arrow over one of them, it would still take you walking past 100 houses to get to the one that you wanted to go to.
It is sometimes condensing things down can be a very logical thing to do for a continuity and fun factor.
Right, right. So anyway, so that's yeah, Elsewhere.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. And we'll continue this trek across Tamriel, doing a little clockwise motion.
Looking at the little dial that we've been going around, we've been going clockwise so far, I suppose. We can just continue on our path.
Yeah, sounds like Valenwood.
Valenwood would be next on our agenda, which is the place that Elsewhere actually got tailored to kind of squish in a little bit, so Valenwood could squish out a little bit.
Right, right. So we'll be doing that next time. And actually, next week is our patron chat. So because it's a weird short month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be the 23rd. Wild. So if you want to join us, there's still time to sign up on the Patreon. And those of you who are already signed up, let's talk about what you guys want to talk about. We'll talk about the thing we're going to talk about before we talk about that thing. That's the way it works. Yeah. So we'll see you next week for our patron chat. And then we'll be back to traversing across Tamriel after that. And Lotus, you have anything else you want to share before we head out?
So we actually didn't have an episode of Tales last week because of all of that chaos in Turkey and stuff like that. But in the meantime, that gave me a little extra time to work on things behind the screen scenes with
screens.
I'm working behind screens right now. And we managed to line up an interview with the head of Skyblivion, which will be a ton of fun to chat about. Just gonna have him join us, and we're just honestly gonna chat about the project and all of that stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I figure Rob might be entertained by that. Yeah, it should be a really fun chat.
Rob is the head of Skyblivion.
It's Rob all along.
It's been Rob all along. Wearing a mask.
But yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. We'll actually be recording. If you hear this when it is released, I guess theoretically you could join us live for our show over at Tales of Tamriel, which is just we're going to be recording Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Translate accordingly because time zones are hard and my brain turned to mush trying to manage the three time zones we're working with between the three of us. But otherwise, it'll just be on the normal feed like usual once it's recorded, because just like this show, most people like to just listen to it on the podcatchers and stuff like that, myself included.
Yep, that's how it goes. Yeah, go check that out. That sounds like I'm looking forward to it. I'd love to hear more about that whole project, because that sounds awesome.
It's so ambitious. It's like
yeah
it's wild.
Callie's wondering if you're going to record any more dungeon walkthroughs.
Actually, yes. Funny enough, I kind of ended up getting super backlogged. We are doing more dungeon walkthroughs probably this weekend that hopefully I can get up, as well as if we can sync things up for anybody interested in the things that we're referring to. It's Dungeons and Trials Tales, which are basically just the ESO dungeons done story mode wise, like a TV show. I don't talk over it. I literally let the dialogue of the game play itself out, and we just kind of role play through it, I suppose, just so you can get the story, because they are group contented ones. We are going to attempt, see my editing skills, to do a full story trial this weekend too. Which is a way bigger undertaking than four people doing a dungeon for a story.
Yeah.
This is 12 people trying to coordinate to do a story dungeon.
That's a lot of patience among the people.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Hopefully well. But yeah, so if that is a series you like, I know a lot of you have sent me messages about it and stuff like that, because you haven't been involved with it or don't want to make a new character just to replay it, because you can't replay these, which is very odd. You get like one-time thing, so you have to make a new character to see them. I would like to continue to flesh out the whole series for everybody, just because I know that many people have said that it's been helpful or good as a refresher. So hopefully soon I will have the whole set of them out. There's just a lot of dungeons in ESO.
That's true. Yeah, nice. Well, good luck with that. That sounds fun. All of my stuff, you guys know, robotsradio.net. So I've got a bunch of different shows. Also, still no news on Starfield, but as soon as we get news, we will be reporting about it on the Starfield Lorecast. And also starfieldinsider.com is a website that me and a number of other content creators are contributing to with any of the news or leaks or eventually lore and gameplay stuff, all of that kind of stuff. So go to starfieldinsider.com, go bookmark it, check it out a few times, look for new stuff on there if you want to stay plugged in. That's what I got going on. And Lotus, thank you for joining me again. And
yeah,
everybody in chat, it's always so fun to have you guys here, and I love all the conversations and comments and all that. And we will see you next time with our patrons. Stay safe out there. We'll see you later. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.